brought your Bibles tonight, let me ask you to turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans. And we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25 as our text this evening. It's a joy to be able to be with you. And we've had a wonderful day. Was over at Woodland Trails Baptist Church over by Springside. Off 290. This afternoon, we was over at Uvalde having a reception for a young lady that had been a charter member of the church in 54 and was going to leave the community to go be with her daughter. And so we just now got home. let me encourage you to pray for us that the word will not suffer. And we're delighted to be able to be with you here tonight. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself might be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole universe groans and moans and suffers the pangs of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within us, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is already seen? But if we hope for that which we do not see with perseverance, we shall wait eagerly for it. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for the beauty of it, for the rain that we've driven through. Father, for the opportunity of being in house of worship that we can openly and without fear of a suppression to be able to worship you and to sing praises to your name. How we thank you for South Avenue Baptist Church, Father. And we come tonight to be able to assemble in your name once again to listen as you speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless Brother Jay and Bonnie as they are there in convention. Just pray that it will be not only an enjoyable time of fellowship, but also a time of refreshing and encouragement to them. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a day where the big key word is motivation. People are always trying to be able to find some way to encourage people to do more. It means to stimulate, animate, to give incentive for us to accomplish a desired end or goal. Millions are spent in industry every year to be able to get to motivate their employees, to get them to do more production. Individuals try to be able to be motivated. Sports is a motivation. Even drugs sometimes enter into that motivating process. So what motivates a Christian? I use a sensational title, What Runs Your Motor? That's not in the text. I don't. Some of you kind of looking. What motivates you to get out of bed in the morning, and do about the task that you've been assigned and the responsibilities you've assumed, and face all the oppositions and trials that you go through? What is there that stimulates you and moves you towards that goal? A man would approach a little league team as they were playing one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. And the boy responded, 18-0. We're behind. Boy, said the man to the young lad, I bet you're discouraged. He said, Why should I be discouraged? Replied the little boy, We haven't even come up to bat yet. Now that is a personification of the thing called, what Paul is writing to the Roman church called hope. And I want to talk to you about hope because this is the essence of the Christian life. Faith, hope, love, these three. And without them, there is no Christian life. For if we live life as we see it and experience it day by day, and there's nothing more to what we have in our plate every day, and that's all there is, and nothing to look forward to, we'd all go out and cut our throat. But there is something. And the thing that runs our motor is a blessed hope. And I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about that blessed hope that every Christian has. For one thing, it is inextinguishable. Look in verse 18. It said that, I consider the suffering of the present time not to be worthy compared to the glory that is yet to be revealed. It is going to happen. Why? Because God's word said it is. And the Bible says it, and I believe it. And the Holy Spirit says, amen. The fact that you're not going to do away with hope. I got to run across this article in 2010. Nearly 1,000 tornadoes killed more than 500 people and inflicted $5 billion in damage in America's heartland this year. Newsweek reported that April is the wettest in 116 years in the Midwest, while Texas suffered the driest month in a century. The 2010 heat wave in Russia killed an estimated 15,000 people. The floods in Pakistan and Australia killed over 2,000. And 2010 was the hottest year on the planet since weather began being recorded. The tsunamis that come and wreck the coast of Japan. All of these things we listen to. And let me assure you, go back and read Koheleth in the book of Ecclesiastes. Much knowledge brings much sorrow. We know entirely too much. All we've got to do is just be able to reach in our pocket or in our purse and look at our phone, and we find out what happened around the world 30 minutes ago. And it hasn't made us happier. It has caused great concern to us. But hope is indestructible. You can destroy the body, but you cannot destroy the hope that the Holy Spirit gives unto a child of God. That regardless of how dark the day may be, and regardless of how bad you feel, and regardless of what everybody else has said, and public opinion is against to the contrary, there's a sunrise tomorrow. And we're going to hope. And because Jesus is coming again. And we're going to be with him. And we're going to see our loved ones. And all that we've never been, we're going to be. And not only have we been redeemed in spirit, but then we're going to be redeemed in body. We're going to put on a glorified body that we'll spend an eternity in heaven in. We've got something to look for. You can be able to destroy the body, but you cannot destroy the hope that the Holy Spirit puts into the child, to a child of God. It is unquenchable. It is undeniable. The fact that you can be able to, and let me go back and read a quote here. The 30-year war in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night as they stayed in a small village, they were hopeless and they were afraid. The wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of the scriptural promises that God would take care of them. Then going out into the garden when he was alone, he began to cry, and he too broke down and wept. And he felt that it was indeed the darkest hour of his life. Soon after that, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed a renewed presence of the Lord. Taking a pen, he wrote down a hymn that has brought comfort to many. Give to the winds your fear, hope, and be undespaired. God hears your sighs, and he counts your tears. God will lift up your head. The waves and clouds and storm, he will gently clear the way. Wait thou his time, so that night comes in joyous day. Indestructible. In our darkest hours, when we feel like that there is absolutely no way that we can, there is something inside of us that says, hang in there. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. It's not like you want to be, but I'm in control. That hope, nothing in this world nor the world to come can take away from you. It is indestructible. It is undeniable. It is there, evident. Here, I just read from Gerhardt. We have no idea. I've said this before. America's a bunch of whiners. bellyaching about things that are so unimportant that we don't get what we want to do, and we're going to cry and put our thumb in our ear or in our mouth. And like a little child, we're going to stomp our feet and say, it's not fair, it's not fair. And Christians are just as bad at this as anybody else. But regardless of what happens, when we let God get all the things out of the way, as an undeniable hope in a Christian's life, Jesus is coming again. I don't know when, I don't know how, don't care. He's coming. All I got to do is just make sure I'm ready, that you're ready. Undeniable. And when he comes, the forces of evil, the battle of Armageddon, I don't worry about the battle of Armageddon because I know who's going to win. Jesus is going to be Lord, and the battle is going to be over, and Satan's going to be cast into the pit. And I honestly, this is a fascinating thought. It's not biblical, but let me share with you a fascinating thought that Dr. Bill Hendricks shared with me in seminary. He said, I believe that God's going to be in hell, and there he's going to be, and he's going to have the same love for those in hell that he does for those in heaven. And no matter where they go, there's the love of God. And the greatest torment they're going to have is a love for which they cannot respond. And said, and cry for the rocks to fall on them and hide. But everywhere they turn, there's a loving God, and they can't respond. I don't know whether that's biblical or not, but it's fascinating. The idea that that hope that we have in the Christian faith is not conditioned by the external circumstances of our life. Now, you and I have to be realistic. When you don't feel good, it's hard to be able to be optimistic. It's hard to be more than a conqueror through him that loved us and our faith. When we're tired, when we're ill, it's very easy to become despondent. Go back and read the Bible, and you'll find incident after incident after incident after incident where people have just cried out, Lord, I'm through. I've done it. I can't go anymore. And they thought it was hopeless. And God came to them in the Spirit and said, hang in there. And it got better. And he carried them through. Now, you and I'd like to know how he's going to work all this out. We'd like to know how we get from here to there. All we got to worry about is getting through today. And if God gives us tomorrow, he'll take care of us then. It is an undeniable hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an unseen hope. The very fact that you don't go around and people telling me, you know, show me your faith. You know, where is all of this? You told me you got a book here. But I'm talking about, you say it's, you dwell in your heart. Well, you don't. See, the amazing thing, the heart isn't the seat of emotion. In the ancient world, the seat of the emotions was the bowels. And when he's talking about the heart speaks this, they're talking about that part of us that have an intelligence. The seat of emotions would, like I say, the bowel area, the abdominal area. But what he's talking about is there is a part of us that is more than physical, that is eternal. And when we give that over to the Lord, he is going to be able to give us a hope that we cannot, that will never deny. It's not going to be consistent. We're not going to always feel like we're more than conquerors. My, look at old Elijah. Lord, let me die. I can, under that juniper tree, had more pity on the poor old plant than he did on people. I can identify with that. But the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ gives unto us through faith is totally undeniable, unquenchable. It is unseen, and it is indestructible. There's no illness, there's no war, there's no punishment. There is nothing in this life, nor the life to come, that can be able to remove the blessed hope that we have in the Lord if we let him. Now, if we're going to listen to the naysayers, the world's dying and going to hell in a handbasket. There isn't any hope. You see all of these young people running around shooting up each other in school. Where, you know, and part of that has to do with the candle problem. And some of you have the same problem I've got. Too many on the cake. as we get older. My whole of life is behind us, and we know a whole lot more about yesterday than we know about tomorrow. And so all of a sudden we begin to say, woe is me, woe is me, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. But I remember it, and you probably did too, when your parents said the same thing when you were a young people, and you felt so optimistic and saying, well, Dad, if you would just let me, I'd show you how to do it. Beloved, hope is the only thing we have in this world. If you put it your trust in money, it'll fail. Some years ago, after Enron took its nosedive, well, it didn't take a nosedive, after they found out that it wasn't anything to back up their figures, one of the ladies that was in our church came to me and she said, you know, I lost $300,000 in all of that episode. I said, how much of that was actually your money that you put into that fund? $10,000. I said, that's all you lost. Rest of it is just on figures on a piece of paper or on a screen somewhere. We can lose our money just as easy as we, and some of you've heard parents talk about the depression. My dad had a great fear of going in debt. He'd gone to Weatherford. He and mother had where his home was, and he'd come back to Odessa where they lived, and he wrote a check for $2.54. And the man looked at it and said, Mr. Majors, yeah, you had checks, all right, but it's not any good. Well, you might as well have insulted my mother to tell my dad his check wasn't any good. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you must have been out of town. First National Bank of Odessa closed last week. Well, thankfully, Dad had money in First National Bank in Weatherford, where his brother worked. And finally, he got some money back out of that. But from that time on, he was afraid of debt. So people can take all the money in the world and suddenly cannot have, and it's gone. You can't be able to trust the happiness and the hope we have of life on your health, because you may be healthy tomorrow and be able to be invalid, bound to a bed or a wheelchair tomorrow. We can't be able to blame it on them. We can't base our life on how many years, 70 years. How many of you have family that didn't live that long, 70 years? The only thing that we have to base our day-to-day existence on is the hope that Jesus is coming again and will do all the things that he promised. And when we believe them, the Holy Spirit says, amen and amen. On the wall of the main entrance to the Alamo in San Antonio is a portrait with the following inscription: James Butler Bonham, no picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people will know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. Now, there's no literal portrait of Jesus. Salmon's head of Jesus is an effeminate-looking Anglo-Saxon that bears no resemblance to the earthly Lord. He wasn't blonde to begin with, and he didn't have a manicured beard and mustache and finely conditioned hair. He was a Semite. He was black-headed. He was small, probably 5'2" or 5'3". He had sawdust in his beard. But all of a sudden, we see this a very effeminate picture. That isn't who Jesus is. We don't have any literal picture of him. But the likeness of Jesus, if you want to find out what is Jesus like, you'll find it in the lives of those who believe that he is Lord. Jesus lives because in spite of hopelessness, a Christian has hope. Hope in today and hope in tomorrow. If I live, I live in Christ. If I die, I die in Christ. But live or die, Christ live within me. May hope run your motor. Father in heaven, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy that we have of knowing that in spite of what circumstances are on the external, you're always near, always close, always helpful. And Father, there's nothing that can interfere with your plan and purpose for our life. The devil and all his minions are no match. Father, thank you that we have the privilege here tonight to worship in a house dedicated to the worship of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the word that we have read from, which gives us encouragement, as it is your revelation, divine truth without mixture of error. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that we do look forward with indestructible, undeniable hope that Jesus is coming again, and we're going to sit at your feet and give you glory throughout the eons of eternity. May this hope sustain us in a troubled world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.